This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay. A little bit after 8 p.m. on this Tuesday night, February 11th. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, on The Fan, taking your calls. Coming up next, Zach Rosenblatt will join us from The Athletic to talk Jets. But a couple things before we try to sneak a couple calls in. Watching the Knicks game, it's a one-point game. Knicks are up 27-26. Karl Anthony Towns has 9. Precious Achiuwa has 6. And the next leading scorer is Josh Hart with 5. Refreshing that, but keeping an eye on the Knicks game as well. The first quarter has now come to an end. Before we went to the break, I said I was going to give you my thoughts on Kyle McCord. Kyle McCord is kind of a local guy. He's from South Jersey, Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Played his high school ball in Pennsylvania at St. Joseph's Prep. He went to Ohio State, and then he transferred to Syracuse. I got to watch at least two or three of his games this year because there's a young man named Trebor Pena who was born in the Bronx but went to my high school, Ocean Township High School, and one of my homies hit me like, bro, there's this kid at Syracuse, this receiver, you got to check him out. He's balling. So I started watching him. I started watching McCord, Fran Brown, and the Syracuse football program, who had some new life this year. Kyle McCord is not a first-round pick. I think he is a second-round pick for somebody, though. And same thing I feel about Jalen Milroe. I expect the first day to be three quarterbacks: Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Jackson Dart. Unless somebody falls in love with a Jalen Milroe type, which, you know, I was very critical of Jalen Milroe. It pissed me off to hear people compare him to Lamar Jackson, who should have been a three-time MVP. He is not Lamar Jackson, and he is not where Lamar Jackson was at any point at Louisville coming out, winning the Heisman. I just think it's a lazy comp because he's a runner. And I was hard on Jalen Milroe. I said he's more Deebo Samuel than Lamar Jackson. He's more, I can't even think of a comp. I'm glad he's more Taysom Hill. You know what I'm saying? Like he's type brolic. He's built like a linebacker. I don't really like his throwing motion and his footwork. And, you know, I wanted to change my opinion on him. And I followed a lot of the stuff coming out of the Senior Bowl. And I saw his little showing at the Senior Bowl. I don't think he really helped himself at the Senior Bowl, where he was competing with Jackson Dart. And I think Jackson Dart helped himself. And somebody's going to take a chance on Jackson Dart in the first round, I believe. We are coming up on this schedule in the NFL, which, you know, it's in the next month, right? The tag window opens February 18th. Then we'll have the NFL Combine February 24th to March 3rd. And then the tag window will close after that, March 4th. And then the negotiation period opens March 10th to 12th. And then the new league year begins March 12th. So, I mean, pretty soon on The Fan, you'll hear us talking about, you know, what comes out of the combine, what free agents are signed, what players are tagged, what moves are being made. And we'll have a clearer view at, you know, what the Jets and Giants can do. I'll say this before we take another call. The Jets should not use that number 7 overall pick on a quarterback. There's too much talent. They may be able to take their pick of the best corner, best receiver, best offensive lineman on the board. Do not make the mistake and reach for a quarterback there. It just is. It would be the wrong thing for this regime. They got to learn from past mistakes of regimes prior. Take the best player available. You have multiple needs where you could plug in a corner like Will Johnson. You could plug in a Will Campbell. You can plug in a, I don't know, if Mason Graham falls, like, you know, there a Teteroa McMillan. There are multiple talented players. I just named a receiver, a D lineman, offensive lineman, a corner. There are multiple talented players. Hell, if you want to take Tyler Warren because you didn't get Brock Bowers last year, do that. Do not draft a quarterback at 7. Let's take another call or two from these Giants fans before we do end up really talking Jets. Again, Zach Rosenblatt will join us at 8:15. Gene is in Stanford. What's up, Gene? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
First time caller, and I think you do a great job. I get to listen to you on my ride home, and so enjoy what you do on your program.
Thank you.
But talk about Eli Manning and sort of Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame induction. Yeah, I lived in Denver for a long time. I'm 55 years old and got to watch Elway win a couple Super Bowls. Got to watch Peyton win Super Bowls. And Eli's just, I'm not going to take anything away from him. Those two plays that he had in the Super Bowls, those were huge plays. And showing up clutch in the biggest moments, when the lights are the brightest, I mean, that says a lot. And so I'm not going to say he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but and I think it's for me, since I'm not a local, hearing how the New York fans have this huge megaphone because there's so many Giants fans that, mm-hmm. you know, they think that Eli should be in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. And, you know, when he wasn't inducted there, just how, you know, I'm going to call it just, you know, the fan irrationality, you know, just taking care of your own guy with a huge New York megaphone. I just find it interesting, just from the outside, and having watched Elway and his brother Peyton play, it's clear he's just not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Correct. Thanks for the call, Gene. It was not close. So we all were wrong. Now, will he be a second ballot? Maybe. But, you know, the line gets a couple new guys in it. I think Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, a couple other names. And, you know, the thing I'll say is this. Like, I hate that the Hall of Fame has to be like a New York City club. And I don't know if you guys used to go clubbing pre-pandemic. It's been a while for me. But like, I used to pull up to some of these clubs and it's like propaganda, right? You gotta grease the guy to get in. You gotta grease the bouncer at the front door. And then after you slip him $40, you get in there and you're like, where's everybody at? There's a long-ass line outside. Why we gotta wait to get in? I was like, oh, we eventually were gonna let everybody in. We were eventually gonna let you in, but you're not VIP. Your name's not on the list, so you got to wait in line to get in the club. I feel like Eli's got to wait in line to get in the club, but like his rings and who he is, and like even the fact that he had to follow up in the shadow of Archie Manning and Peyton Manning, how hard that was to do here with the media scrutiny and the way that he did it. That stuff just doesn't carry weight outside of here. They look at Eli and they say he was never dominant. He never struck fear into opponents' hearts. They never looked at Eli like, oh no, here comes Eli. How do we stop him? Doug is in Levittown. Before we go to break, you got it, Doug.
Thank you. So, I mean, kind of to piggyback off what the last caller was saying, I'll go a little further. I mean, you know, these Giants fans, I've been listening to them on the radio since the Hall of Fame announcement came out that Eli wasn't making it. And I thought maybe reality would set in that this guy just isn't viewed by the rest of the league as a Hall of Famer. But it seems like the denial has only ramped up. I mean, this guy was never at any point in his career even a top five quarterback, probably not most years even top 10. And this idea that he was taking a beating back there isn't true either. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was getting sacked more. Phillip Rivers was getting sacked more. And those are the guys from his class. This guy was not good. He threw a million interceptions. He led the league in picks 3 times. Yeah, he balled out in the playoffs a couple times. But most weeks, if you were going up against Eli Manning, you weren't fearful, obviously. You were probably pumped because you knew you were going to get a pick or two and you were going to get some crummy quarterback play on the other side. This guy was terrible most seasons. He wasn't even bad. Like, he wasn't even good. Like, he was just bad.
All right, Doug, I think you're carrying it a little bit. I'll say this before we break. as much as we make of the Super Bowl, as much as we make of playoffs, as much as we make of what guys do in those moments, and then we try to devalue the regular season, it can't be the other way around. But it always is. It's a moving of goalposts, right? It's a moving of goalposts. We say, oh, Aaron Judge, doesn't matter if he hits 70 home runs in a regular season until he does it and comes through in October. This guy came through. He was 8-4 in the playoffs, went on two historic runs, won the Super Bowl, got it done. It wasn't just a couple plays. They were game-winning drives against the coach that people consider the greatest ever with 8 rings and the quarterback that people consider the greatest ever with 7 rings. That doesn't carry any weight anywhere outside of New York. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy when you think about how, like, yeah, you just heard Doug and the caller before that lived down in Denver. They just don't want to look at Eli the way that I think, obviously, the Giants fans looked at him. To say that he wasn't hit, come on. There might be numbers to say that Ben Roethlisberger or Phillip Rivers were sacked more. I don't know those stats off the top of my head, but I can remember games of Eli Manning getting his block taken off, literally bleeding. I remember Eli Manning hurting his shoulder where he was supposed to be out, potentially out, I think, the rest of the season. Nah, he's back. Iron Man. So just, you know, I can respect that he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but don't disrespect the guy and what he did now. He should be second ballot. Last week I said they weren't going to put Peyton and Eli in as the first brothers over Shannon Sharp and Sterling Sharp. There are politics. There are other things at play as well. I just think that now that the door was closed on him, more people are piling on and say, this guy wasn't good. He was good. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ, and there are a lot of quarterbacks that don't ever get to the Super Bowl, don't ever win the Super Bowl, that get held up in higher regard.